You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I'm so honored to be with you here this morning. What an amazing church you are, Eternity Church. But I want you to know something, that I'm going to go home today at 5 o'clock and see my kids and see the Halloween costumes, you know, they wore, whatever, and get caught up with them. But there's some people that have laid down their life, that have moved literally countries to come to Iowa, to say that God has called them here to spend the rest of their life here praying for you, loving you, creating beautiful atmospheres like this so where you could hear and receive, come on, from God and from the Holy Spirit. And I think it only fitting that we would say a great big huge thank you and how much we appreciate it. It's still Pastor's Appreciation Month, in fact, to Pastor Jesse, come on, Pastor Lauren, how amazing are they? Come on. Come on, we can do better than that. My husband was here just a few months ago, and he's already just raving about your church and how wonderful it is. And I was so honored to be able to receive the invitation. And I've just been with you a few short hours last night and this morning, but I already know this is a great church. One of the reasons is that neon sign that I would like to take home today. And the second, we like neon in Vegas, you know. The second reason that I know I love this church is when I saw this young man in eighth grade and this young woman, a freshman in high school, just like my Bella girl. Come on. This is a church that believes in the next generation. It's not just about us, right? Come on. You know, the Bible talks about raising up a child in the way they should go. And when they get old, they're not going to depart from that. And there are seeds that are sown, but this speaks louder than any sermon. Come on. This speaks louder than any, you know, core values we could write on the wall. But that when individuals come in from Iowa, from around the world, from around this nation, and they see young people, they know that this is a good church to be planted in. Because we're not just living for you and me. We're living for these, this next generation, that they'd be raised up and be world changers as well. Amen. Hey, before you're seated, would you just turn to your neighbor next to you and just say, you look so good today. Well, I'm so happy to be with you this morning. We've already had a couple great worship experiences. And my husband says hello. He is at home preaching and holding down the fort. And he's a much better mom than I ever have been. So the kids are well fed. The house will be clean. And none of that happens when I'm there. So I am, I will be a happy woman when I go home today. Benny and I have been married 20 years. This March, thank you, thank you. The people that are clapping have been married longer than 20 years, and they know what a feat that is in this day and age. We have three kids. My oldest son is 18. He just entered university this year. I really thought I was done when he graduated from high school, but apparently I'm going back to school, everyone, and doing work right alongside him. So that was a neat surprise for me this year. And then my daughter is 14, and she just entered high school, and that's like super, super fun. I remember when Benny and I got married, and I know you can't tell yet, but I'm a little bit extroverted. Can you tell? And I'm just a little bit strong, right? And Benny's Latin, and, you know, he's fiery, and his mom and his sisters, they're just outspoken and amazing. And I thought, I'm just going to have this Latin girl that's just going to rule the world, right? She's just going to be like the next president of the United States. And then God gave me the sweetest, kindest, most girly girl. I literally tell my sister-in-law, like, I got your daughter. I don't know how she came to me. There was a mix-up in heaven. I got your daughter. She is the sweetest, kindest. She's very soft-spoken, and it's given me a new understanding when the Bible talks about meekness, what that is. Because don't let the quiet voice fool you. She is in complete charge of our family. She is hilarious. She's always organizing me, and I need it. She's always telling me if we don't leave now, we're going to hit traffic, and we will not make it on time, because I don't make very many things on time. Except when I came to Eternity Church, because I met your pastors, and he really likes me to be on time, so I was on my best behavior this trip. I was hitting all my marks on time. I was like, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. That doesn't come natural to me. And then, as a parent, sometimes you have children and you don't quite grasp the understanding when you have these children that, you know, they are just sometimes born with some things built in. So God gave me this firstborn son, and he's super smart and really responsive. And then I got this really sweet, you know, actually very compliant girl. And I literally thought I was the best parent in the whole world. Like, I literally had two perfect children. I took all of the credit for it completely. I thought I was absolutely amazing. Gonna write a book, start a ministry, get a website, blogging. Everyone needs to learn from me. I'm the best parent. And so God just felt like my pride needed to be brought down a notch. And so he gave me Benaiah. My favorite story about Benaiah was I was actually in Australia. And I was there, and Benny got asked to speak at a church, and I was just taking along. And then when I got there, they're like, oh, could you go preach at way out in the bush at our other campus? And no, I'm just kidding. And I was like, yeah, sure, I will. So this pastor picks me up, who I've never met before, and I don't know why Benny left the kids with me. I've already established the fact that I'm not super organized, you know, and he would have done much better taking the kids with him. They would have minded, they would have behaved, they listened to him better, all of those things. But I decided to take the kids with me, so I'm super stressed, and I have to meet this pastor, and I'm a perfectionist, so I want to make a good impression, you know. And so I'm totally stressed out. We get in the elevator to go downstairs to meet this pastor for the first time, and I'm going to go speak at their church. And I get in the elevator, and they're asking me 5 million questions. Mom this, mom that, when are we going to eat, what's happening, where, why do we have to go, you know, all those wonderful things. And I say, stop! I'm not mom anymore. And my little guy goes, who are you? And I said, I'm Pastor Wendy. And he goes, will our mom ever come back? And I said, yes, I will, when I'm done preaching. But you have to stop asking me the questions. I just can't take it right now, and I have to focus. They're like, okay. So we get downstairs, and they line up. They look so nice. They're dressed nice. Everything seems to be going well. I meet the pastor for the first time. She's very, very kind. And I said, this is my son, BJ. Now, BJ uses a lot of words. We call him the commentary, and he will probably teach. You know how teachers take like a small little subject and then they expound forever on it? Okay, lots of words. So he's like, hello, good morning. It's so nice to meet you. It is our honor to be ministering at your church. I'm like, okay, BJ, stop. Okay, stop talking. And then it goes on to Bella, and she, again, she's just so sweet. And this is my daughter, Bella, and she's like, good morning. She's like so sweet and so kind. And then I say, and this is my son, Benaiah. And he stops, and he looks at her, and like out of his mouth, at the top of his lungs, he sings, I came in like a wrecking ball. And I am literally like, stop singing, why are you singing? Wait, what are you singing? I don't even know that song, you know? Oh my gosh, that is Benaiah, okay? Like, you just never know what will come out of his mouth. And the Lord knew that we needed him. He is truly the joy of our life. And he keeps life very, very interesting. He once wanted to be a rapper. He did say Christian rapper, so that sounded a little bit better. A Christian rapper, a youth pastor, and a fireman, but it has now changed, and he would like to be a rapper. We've dropped the Christian, but we'll get there. And he wants to be a rapper, a model, and a preacher. He decided being a youth pastor was way too much work. He just wants to travel around and be the superstar. So, the sin nature is still coming out of him, but we will continue to pray over that child. But it's been a joy, and it's been fun. We've been pastoring in Las Vegas for 15 years. I'm a PK and originally from the Seattle area. And grown up in church, and I do really love church, and I love the local church. God is so good that, come on, Benny could be in Vegas preaching, and I could be here with you, come on, and the same spirit is in both places. I'm telling you, God is on the move. He's just continuing to take the church forward like never before. This is not an archaic institution. This is God-breathed and God-ordained. And you are a part of literally the most impacting, world-changing movement, the global church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, I have a scripture for you this morning. It's found in James. So can you flip open to James for me? Maybe you have your Bible. You can also read it on the screen, or you have a glowing one on your phone. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James is one of those books in the Bible that I try desperately to ignore for most of my life. Maybe, you think that's a little sacrilegious, and that's okay. I've just been doing this a long time, so I prefer to be honest this morning, okay? So if anything goes beyond the line of honesty, you can just say, she's going home to Vegas at 5 o'clock. Pastor Jesse will be back next week, and all will be well, okay? I didn't like James. I didn't appreciate his tone. I really felt like he was a little bit harsh. He just was like a little bit to the point for me. I'm a creative individual. You know, I prefer to like massage the subject before we get to like the end result. But James right out of the gate is just like in your face. I don't know if it's okay to have a least favorite scripture in the Bible, but we're about ready to read mine, okay? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Are you encouraged this morning? Are you like so excited about this message? I promise it gets better. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Going on to verse 3, and it's just going to get better. Knowing, come on, that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness or endurance. Great. So now we're counting it joy that we're in pain and we're going to go through testing of our faith. Like, this is super encouraging. But James wraps it all up in verse 4, knowing, come on, that this steadfastness is going to work out in us, and we're going to be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Anybody want to be perfect? I would love to be perfect. It's a little bit impossible, come on, but we're becoming a little bit more like Jesus every day. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for this morning. And Lord, we know, God, we know that your word, it cannot return void. So may it go down deep in our heart and bear good fruit in our lives. Amen. Amen. I think it's really important that we establish, right, before we kind of get into this message, when I'm talking about trials of various kinds, when I'm talking about walking through pain, it is important to understand at the very beginning that I am not saying that God is the author of our trial. God is not the author, come on, of sickness. Anything that he took upon himself upon that cross, we do not have to face, and it is not from him. So I think that's really important as we move forward as followers of Jesus, that he does not put these trials, come on, he does not put these tests in my path. But he promises that he will take everything that the enemy means for evil and turn it around for good. And that's a good place to clap. Amen. Amen. However, just to give us a little bit of context of where James is coming from, otherwise we can kind of misinterpret his tone. You know, we just read this first verse and we're like, yeah, I think we'll go to the next book of the Bible. Now, there's some debate about who James exactly was. But for the sake of our talk this morning, we're going to go with that James was this author of James was the actual little brother of Jesus. And we know a little bit about his story, that he didn't actually believe in Jesus until the cross and the resurrection. Then he's accounted for in the upper room, and then he's there as the church is birthed. And then he's the one, while the rest of the apostles, right, and the disciples, and they got to go out and have beautiful, fancy Instagram pages that everyone was super jealous of. And they got to go evangelize the world. Somebody had to stay home and build the church. This gives us a little insight into his personality. Now, I would dare to say that when God was, you know, you and God was helping you do all of this beautiful design work in this church, that you probably had a very creative designer, which I think was Pastor Jesse or Pastor Lauren. Very creative, right? Great architect, very creative. It's okay for an architect to be creative. But you actually don't want a builder to be creative. You don't, right? You don't want to be standing on this stage and then one day, you know, Pastor Jesse's just walking along and he just falls through, right? Because the builder decided to get creative with the different cuts of wood, right? Get creative with, like, it's not level, you know, and it's a little bit wonky up here. No, you don't want a builder to be creative. You want a builder to follow the plans. So that's where James is coming from. So sometimes the creative personality is like, whoa, James is really in your face. But that's what he's doing. He's line upon line, precept upon precept, come on, brick upon brick. He is building the foundation of the church. That gives us a little perspective to who James is. He's the one that stayed home and began the church. This passage, Benny and I were going through some challenges in our life. Anybody ever been through a challenge? Just one. I mean, even one. Not everybody's raising their hand. We need to talk to them. Like, they're obviously Jesus. Like, I mean, literally, Son of God, just sitting right here. No. A challenge in life. Been through some challenges. Been through some issues. Walked through a few difficult times. And it was in one of those times, you know, growing up, I had always heard that James was the book that if you wanted to grow your faith, that you should read James. And so I found myself in a challenging time, and, you know, I really wanted to live that overcoming life that Jesus tells us, come on, in this life you will have challenges, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Come on. So if he's an overcomer, we can live that overcoming life. And I found myself in a place where I felt really like the enemy was using the same old tricks to get me discouraged, to get me down, to get me focused off of where I was going, what I was doing, and why I was doing it, and to start getting focused on circumstances. So I dove into the book of James, but I just couldn't get off this second verse, because I'm just the type of person, like, I've never worked out past the pain part, you know? Like, I just get there, and then I'm just done. Like, I call it quits. Like, I've had 3 kids, and if they could have put me in a medically induced coma at 6 months and woke me up 3 months later with the baby out of me, like, I would have signed up for that, okay? I don't like pain. I run away from it. I'm joyful, and I'm happy, and I'm a cheerleader and an encourager by nature. I don't want pain. I'm like, I would run from it. But I found myself in my walk with Christ and wanting to lead people in the best way that I could, realizing that there still will be challenges. How am I going to not run from them? How am I going to not forfeit the journey? How am I not going to run away and not grow everything that God wants to grow on the inside of me? So I started in the book of James. And I got to verse 2, and it says, count it joy when you fall into trials. So I went to commentaries and I'm looking up definitions and I'm like, there's got to be something here. I don't know anyone that's like in pain and they're like, oh, this is so wonderful, I'm in pain. No one. I'm thinking there's got to be something more here. And I started looking up the definitions of count it all joy. And one of the definitions that came up that really began to speak to me was this thought, consider the sum. Consider the sum. Will you say that with me? Say, consider the sum. One more time. Say, consider the sum. In our life and in our walk and as we begin to pastor and everything that God really had for our lives, we begin to hit some valleys and some challenges. And I don't know everything that my husband preached when he was here. I remember walking through a season where my parents were pastors, and about 9 years ago, my dad graduated to heaven after battling multiple myeloma for 7 years, valiantly battling multiple myeloma for all of those years. And he always had this saying, and it was, no matter what, we win. Right? Because the devil doesn't win because we pass on and we go to glory a little bit early. That's actually a graduation. That's actually, you're entering in, come on, to that eternal rest. You're going and you're instantly in the presence of Jesus. So we're not losing just because we go to heaven. We may get healed this side of eternity or that side of eternity, but no matter what, we're still the winners, right? So he left a great legacy of faith for my life, and it was during that same time that I experienced two tragic miscarriages and almost lost my life as well due to hemorrhaging after one of them. And it was a crazy time, and it seemed like there was a lot of death in our life. And I remember thinking at that moment that this was the worst thing, to have to say goodbye to someone. That was the worst thing that I could face. But as I continued my journey with Jesus and continued my journey of leadership, I realized that death is actually, it can be resolved. You can walk through the steps of grief and you can get to the other side, and we don't grieve like those who have no hope because we have a hope in Jesus. And so we see it a little bit differently. And then I walked into another situation of betrayal. And someone that I had loved just betrayed us, and it seemed like turned against us. And I thought, this must be the worst thing that we're going to have to face as followers of Jesus, this betrayal. And then I started reading in the New Testament. I realized, wow, if the Son of God can even be betrayed, right? Come on. I think that we could expect a little bit of betrayal in our life. And so I thought, okay, well, that must not be the very worst thing that we could, you know, have to walk through as followers of Jesus. And then it was a couple years later where someone that I was really, really close to walked away from me. And I realized in that moment, as they turned their back on God, and after all of these years of loving and encouraging, of friendship and relationship, of pouring into, of releasing even into leadership, that they would turn and walk away from God. And I realized in that moment that I think the most critical thing as followers of Jesus, and one of the most difficult things that we can face, is actually bitterness in our heart. That we would keep an open heart to people, because we're in the people business. And quite frankly, it's really easy to love someone that you just met because you don't know their history. They never hurt you. They may have hurt other people, but they never hurt you. But it's really hard to allow someone where you poured your life in, they would turn away from God and walk out those doors, and then they would come back a few months later, a few years later, they would come back. And the problem is they hurt you, and you know the details of their life, and you know what they've walked through, and still to be able to open your arms and say, welcome home. We're so glad you're home. And realize that if Jesus can forgive and forget their sin, then I, as a follower of Jesus, am going to have enough faith to just lay that down and welcome them and open up my arms, come on, and welcome them back home. It's one of the most challenging things that we will ever have to walk through, is being hurt, not allowing bitterness and unforgiveness to come into our hearts, and keeping our hearts open to other people. Consider the sum. Count it joy. Consider the sum when you fall and you face trials of various kinds. Consider the sum when you're experiencing pain. Consider the sum when you're facing a mountain or circumstances that seem impossible. Consider the sum. I don't know if you remember that day. Now for me, but this was 25 years ago. I entered into my sophomore year of high school, and they probably teach this stuff in fourth grade now. It's crazy. I can't even believe what my kids are learning in school at such a young age. But I remember walking into what I thought was going to be math class, and some diabolical person decided to take math and English and mush them together and gave us algebra. Mm-hmm. So if you weren't confused already, you walked into math class, you're used to seeing numbers, and now it says A plus B equals C. And you're like, I'm out. What can I sign up so I never have to do math again, right? I know some of you love it, you little math lovers out there. My husband is an accountant by nature. It's really fun when the credit card statements come in. And I have the gift of generosity, both with myself and others, so... So I remember that day, and then, like, more confusing to me, let's just be honest, the teacher's like, if A, you know, equals 5, and C is 10, then what's B? And I'm like, you already know the answer. Why does it matter what B is? The answer is 10, right? Like, I did not get it. It's so annoying. Thank you. One preach on the front row that feels my pain. Consider the sum. It was during this circumstance, it was actually my best friend that turned away from Jesus. I'm reeling. I was completely blindsided. I didn't see it coming. And we're really careful in our house because I grew up in the ministry and I saw some kids not make it that grew up in church. And I realized one thing, and parents, I just want you to hear me, because both my brother and I grew up in church and we never walked away from God, and we have a healthy understanding of what church is, and it's people, and we get that. But when your kids are young, they need superheroes. And so when you go home and you talk about the pastor or their youth pastor or their small group leader or other leaders in the church, and you bring them down to a human level, they can't process that yet. They don't understand being able to honor and also being able to see someone's humanity. And they need superheroes. And what happens is when we talk about them at home and they can't view that person as a superhero in their life, then they start looking to the sports stars. They start looking to whatever singing group or famous Instagram personality or YouTuber to become and be like. And we need to make sure that they find their superheroes in the church. Amen. So I just gave you that exhortation, but now I'm going to tell you how I didn't do that, okay? You ready? We're usually really careful, really, really careful. We try not to talk about these things in front of our kids, and it was one of those moments where we wrongly assumed that they were on their phones or video games or whatever, and they're in the back of the minivan, and, you know, Benny turns up the music, and we're just talking, and I'm reeling. And, you know, you really try, if you're married, you really try to not be, like, down or discouraged on the same day. Like, that's a bad combination, right? Right? You want one of you to be happy and, like, encourage the other. Like, okay, you could be depressed today, but I'll be happy today, you know? But this happened, it was, like, perfect storm, and we both were like, we want to quit, right? And I remember just driving in the car saying to Benny, maybe we're done. Like, literally, thank you, God, for the years in Las Vegas, but maybe we're supposed to move on and do something else. And the bad thing was, is he turned to me and he goes, I know, maybe we are. I don't believe that God directs you by negative circumstances, by the way. I just want to clarify, okay? Okay, this is the enemy working in our lives, and we have the power, come on, and the grace on our lives to resist this. I'm just saying this was a moment of humanity. So I believe God is consistently leading us, but he's leading us through open doors, not shutting everything down and everything, you know, just like falls to pieces. I was going to say goes to crap, but I don't know if you can say that in Iowa. Can we say that? Okay, good. I'm just teasing you. I love you guys. This is such a great church. But Manny's looking at me and I'm looking at him and we're both like, literally, this is it. I think we're done. And we're just like, we literally don't even know where to go from here. This is so painful. Here we've walked through these other things. Come on, kind of like David. We overcame the lion and we overcame the bear, but man, this Goliath just... it felt like it was going to take us out. Got real quiet in the car. The music is going. We think the kids are just into whatever they're doing on their phones or whatever. We're driving along. Remember, I told you about that sweet little girl that God gave me with her sweet little voice. And she just speaks up from the back and she says, would you do it for me, Daddy? You know what's interesting? Nothing changed in my circumstances. Every bit of process that I would have to walk through for healing, the forgiveness still had to take place. The pastoring the people through it was still going to have to take place. I was still looking at a big mountain in front of me. But it was in that instant everything changed because my perspective changed. As the band just comes back, it was in that moment that that little girl sitting in the back seat saying, would you do it for me, Daddy? That I realized that if A is my pain, A is that mountain, A is that trial, and B is Jesus, but all of that equals my Bella girl loving Jesus, serving Jesus, loving his house, loving people, loving our community, then anything is worth it at that point. There was no mountain. There was no pain. There was no trial. There was no circumstance that was going to deter me from walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit if my Bella girl was at stake. Instantly, my perspective is changed. When James is writing and he's saying, consider it joy when you face trials, knowing that you're going to get endurance and steadfastness and you're going to get to the end. He's not saying, woo, this is so great. This is so painful and wonderful all at the same time. He's not a sadist, whatever that word is, person. Sadistic. This is not someone that's just like, yes, bring it on, pain, pain, pain. No. He's saying that literally, as your life is being built brick by brick, precept upon precept, growing in faith and understanding of who God is, walking in his grace like never before, I am telling you that there will come trials and there may come some pain. And the enemy tries to throw them in our path to deter us off the purposes of God. But there is something bigger at stake. It's bigger than my pain. It's bigger than this temporary circumstance. It's bigger than what I might be feeling. And it's the lives of others. I want you to know today, no matter what circumstance you're walking through, and I am not diminishing your pain. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, it's just nothing, just get over. That's not what I'm saying. I realize there still may be walking out that healing. There still may be moments of grief. There still may be getting into a good small group and getting some encouragement from other believers. Maybe even going to a wonderful Christian counselor to really give you some tools to begin to overcome that. I'm not saying or diminishing any of that process. But even if you're at the very beginning of the process, today you have hope, because he can give you a picture of why you're doing what you're doing. And you are not walking through these steps in vain. You are walking through them. We serve a generational God. And whether it's your own children or children that you are leading because you are in this wonderful house and they are looking up to you, whether it's young people and young couples and co-workers that are watching you, oh, you go to that cool church with the rock music and right? Oh, you, that big church. Yeah, I know you go to that church. And they're watching and they're waiting and they want to see, are you different? They want to know that what you're talking about is actually real. You have hope today. By the evidence that you are alive, breathing, and sitting in this room, guess what that means? God's not finished yet. The end of the story isn't written yet. Come on. It's not written yet. He still has time. Amen. And I just think that God gives us such amazing visions. My husband says it all the time. They may not be finished in your lifetime, but they will be finished in your lifeline. I want that kind of vision. I want that kind of declarative authority that is so big that my kids pick up that mantle and they run with it as well. I want you to be encouraged today. Whether as I'm talking, you're being reminded maybe of some situations in your past, or whether I'm talking because right now you are in pain, emotional pain, physical pain, you're facing a challenge. Whether it's relational, whether it's in your actual physical body because some kind of sickness that the enemy is trying to put on you that is not from God. Whether it's a child or a loved one. Whether you feel like you're being falsely accused at your workplace. Whatever you might be walking through today. I would love to say that, hey, the Holy Spirit is Tinkerbell and the anointing is pixie dust and we're just going to pray for you and poof, all your problems will be gone. It's not the way it works. My dad used to say, faith is like a muscle. And even though I might not work out, I do know this. To build muscle, you have to have resistance. Isn't it great to beat the enemy at his game? Just think about that for a moment. I know when we're in it, it's painful. All you have to do is stub your big toe and realize that even though, you know, 0.1% of your body is in pain, it's like all-encompassing. That's all you can see, right? It's just like, pain! It's my toe! And anybody can tell you, no, it's just this little part. It's just this little part. But that's in that moment, it's just pain. The presence of pain is not the absence of Jesus. Many of you didn't do anything wrong. You're not out of the will of God. You are walking through a trial, but what the enemy has put in your path to try to thwart you or take you off purpose, God is going to turn it around. And the beautiful thing is, not only is he turning it around at the very end, at the sum, right? And building in us wonderful things, but he's also growing you in your faith. And I'm telling you, this is a house of faith. This is a house of great faith. When I walked in here and I heard your story of what God did with this building with 100 people, 35 people that had been here that fully embraced their pastors and their family, and then 100 people moving in this building, and how you've grown and what God has done, I want you to know that this is a house of great faith. This is a house of declarative faith. And I believe that God is going to put that word, that vision in your heart, and you're going to begin to confess it, talk about it. Come on. The Bible says that we can call things that are not as though they are. As though they are. And God never puts an anointing on a church that's just a corporate anointing, because the church is actually people. The church isn't a building. This is a beautiful building, but the church isn't a building. The church is people. So if that anointing is on the house, I want you to know that that anointing is on your life. You have declarative faith within you. And when God gives you that picture and God gives you that vision, come on, there's something about knowing that you know that you know that you know in your knower that child is coming back. That relationship is going to be restored. That breakthrough is coming. Jesus is on my side. Come on, if he is for me, who can be against me? I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you. Those of you that, if you're honest, you're facing maybe a mountain. Maybe even you're presently in pain. Maybe there's a circumstance that you're walking through and it just seems like that's all you can focus on. First of all, there's no condemnation in here today. And God is big enough, come on, to answer those why questions. And sometimes when we don't understand, he's big enough. It's okay. But I believe that he can just take this moment. It doesn't mean everything poof is gone, but he can begin to restore hope to your soul and give you a vision for the future. That as you walk through this journey and your faith is growing and taking what the enemy meant for evil and turning it around for good, that you will get to the end of this season of your life and look back and be amazed at what God has done both in you and through you. Would you bow your heads this morning? If that's you and I could pray for you. Like I said, maybe some of you are looking at your past and wondering why. Maybe you have a few questions about that. Just doesn't add up sometimes, right? Well, God, I just don't deserve this. I want to be clear this morning. None of us deserve righteousness. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve to be co-heirs with Christ. But Jesus took care of that on the cross. God loved us so much that he sent his very best to go to that cross so that you and I would get something that we do not deserve. There is no way to be good enough. There is no way to measure up. It is all about Jesus, and it is a gift that we freely receive. And so even in those moments, it seems like we don't deserve what we're going through. And you probably don't, but he's still going to be there to get you through. If that's you today and I could pray for you, would you just shoot your hand up in the air so I could pray right now? Awesome. Awesome. There's so many hands. Father, I just thank you. God, you know intimately the situations that these individuals, couples, and families are walking through. And Lord, I ask right now that the peace of the Holy Spirit, that peace that comes that we would be whole and lacking nothing. I pray that that would come and overwhelm their soul right now. Lord, I speak to their minds. They have the mind of Christ. Lord, I thank you that they can take those thoughts and that negativity and those questions, and they can just release them to you, God. And Lord, you would just give them a new vision and a fresh understanding. Lord, let them have new eyes and new perspective about the situation. And I pray promises would bubble up from the inside of them, and they would declare them out of their mouth. What seems impossible in the natural, God, Lord, you can do. You are the God of the impossible. So I thank you. You're bringing healing. You're bringing life. You're bringing salvation. You're bringing restoration. Lord, they are strong enough in you. Lord, in their own strength, they may not be, but your grace is sufficient. And Lord, they're going to rely on you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. One more group of people I'd like to pray for. If you bow your heads one more time with me. And that is those that want to begin a relationship with Jesus. It's kind of funny to give an invitation about after telling you that, hey, come to Jesus. It doesn't mean life is going to be perfect, right? But the reality is life isn't going to be perfect no matter what. But the Bible says even though life isn't going to be perfect, it doesn't have to be done alone. And it is by his grace and his strength. The Bible says he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he also sets the solitary into families. And that's a community of faith, like the amazing Eternity Church. And you have some people that want to get around you and encourage you today, but you need to take that first step and begin that relationship with Jesus, or you need to come back to him. You know you haven't been walking with him, but today you just want to draw that line in the sand and say, this is the day that I'm going to just rededicate my life and say, Jesus, I'm going with you full on. Time to start making that commitment and see his grace released in your life. I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, I want you to shoot up your hand if you want to begin that relationship with Jesus or come back to him. Then afterwards, we're all going to pray this prayer together. I'll give you a couple ways to respond, but none of it is going to be embarrassing or calling you out in any way. So if that's you, after I count to three, shoot your hand up in the air. One, you know who you are. Please don't leave this place saying, oh, I'm just going to go get a few things right and then I'm going to come. No, you come to Jesus just as you are, and he empowers you to begin to make those changes in your life and gives you great people to support you in those changes. Two, Christians are praying. Come on. This is why we do what we do. Three, I just want you to shoot your hand up in the air right now. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, there's just a few more. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think that's eight. I think there's just a few more. Just shoot your hand up in the air right now. Shoot it up. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. What a great response today. Listen, we're all going to pray this prayer together, and there really isn't anything magical about lifting your hand. The Bible simply says that you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So if you want to begin that journey with Jesus today, would you just repeat this prayer with me right now, and you just believe it in your heart. Come on, everybody all together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I turn and put my trust in Jesus Christ. I receive salvation. I receive forgiveness of sins. Holy Spirit, come on in. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Can we say a great big huge thank you?
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.